What is the greatest, wow, I got the greatest mic this morning. Woo, that's a little bit hot. What is the greatest gift that you've ever gotten? I think we just had Christmas a couple of days ago. What is the greatest gift that you can ever remember getting? Maybe it was a bicycle. When I was a kid, a bike meant freedom. I mean, it was everything. There was never a time I can remember where I did not have a bike. It may not have always been the greatest bike, but I always had a bicycle. And on a bike, you could hop on that bike and just ride. You can go streets over and see your friends. You could have races. You could get a cinder block and an old scrap piece of wood and make a ramp and hurt yourself really badly. A bike was everything to me when I was a kid. Maybe a bike was the greatest gift you ever received. I can remember getting a racetrack one year. I think it was Tyco. And you guys know what I'm talking about. You men of a certain age had those little metal tracks, had a little groove in the middle, and you got a car and put on it. It had little connectors on the bottom of that car, and you plug it in and pull the trigger, and that thing would just take off around that track, and you could race it and race it until it started smelling, and then you had to let it cool off a little bit. You know what I'm saying? You remember those Tyco racetracks? I remember that was one of the greatest gifts that I ever got. Maybe it's a piece of jewelry that you were really hoping to get. Maybe a surprise vacation. Gifts can have a way of making us feel loved and making us feel valued. But as wonderful as those gifts are, none of them compare to the greatest gift ever given, the gift of God's Son. Before we run away from Christmas, you know, in our society, in our culture, it seems like we just go from one thing to the next to the next. And before you've really and fully enjoyed it, you've already got to be planning for the next big thing. Before we run away from Christmas so quickly, I want us to think about the greatest gift. Let's read our text again. I appreciate Eli's reading this morning. If you've never been to church a day in your life, you probably know John 3:16. It's maybe the most widely known, maybe the most oft-quoted verse in all of Scripture, and for a good reason. Let's look at it together. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. Verse 17 is not as widely known, but it ought to be. Look at this. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. I want us to think about the source of the gift. Our first point this morning, the source of the gift. God's love. John 3:16 begins with these words, for God so loved the world. Love is the motivation behind the gift. God's love is not like human love. Oftentimes, our love is conditional, based on what someone does for us, based on how someone makes us feel. Have you ever been a part of something like you're going to a party or families gathering together and you realize or catch wind maybe that somebody has gotten you a gift and you haven't gotten them a gift and you weren't expecting on them giving you a gift and you had no intentions of buying them a gift, but now you feel like you have to get them a gift because there's some sort of obligation. They gave you a gift and you would feel really badly if you did not give them a gift. Sometimes we buy gifts because of conditions placed upon us. What I want to say to you this morning is that God's love is unconditional, meaning this, that he loves us not because we are lovable, but because he is love. Now, I don't know if I fully believe that God's love is unconditional, because there are things that we need to do to respond to God's love. But God's love is unconditional in the sense that God loves us because He is love, not because we are lovable. And in fact, the Apostle Paul said in Romans chapter 5 that God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So God didn't wait for us to clean our lives up before He would send His gift. He didn't wait for us to get everything in order to where we were more lovable. He loved us when we were enemies. And that's when He sent His Son. And notice this: His love is universal. For God so loved the world. Not God loved people that look like me. Not God loved people that speak the same language that I speak. God loved the world. That means every person, every race, every nation, every background. No one is excluded. You may have felt forgotten by someone this year. Maybe somebody that always sends you a Christmas card didn't send you a Christmas card this year. Has that happened to anybody? Paul and I were looking at all the Christmas cards, and we started thinking, well, we haven't gotten a card from them, and we didn't get a card from that person. And then the day after Christmas, we got a stack of like 5 or 6 more cards. Her uncle sent us a Christmas card last year, and we didn't get it until mid-February. So before you start feeling badly about someone, maybe the post office just hadn't gotten to you yet. Every person, no one is excluded. You are never forgotten by God. Think of a parent who sacrifices everything for their child's future. They work long hours. They give up maybe personal dreams of their own. They endure hardship. Why? Because of love. We want our kids sometimes to have more than we had. That's maybe not always good for our kids, but we want that. We want to position our children in a way where they're going to be successful in the future. And many a mom, many a dad has sacrificed, worked long hours, done without, so that their child could have. That's just a glimpse of God's heart toward us. Just a glimpse. His love moved Him to give. Because God so loved, the Bible says He gave. And that brings us to the second truth about the greatest gift: the nature of the gift, His Son. John says that He gave His one and only Son. Your version may say that He gave His only begotten Son. That's how I learned to quote that verse. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten. The word there that we translate only begotten comes from the Greek word monogenēs. And in the King James Version, the latest manuscripts that they had, that's how they translated that. But we know now that literally it doesn't mean the only son that a person would have, because it's the same word that we use like in when Abraham sacrificed his son Isaac, when God told him to take his monogenēs. That's how the Septuagint translates it. What it basically means is his one and only, his unique son of promise. Because Abraham had another son, didn't he? He had Ishmael. Isaac was not his only son, but he was his only unique son of promise. And that's what Jesus is. The nature of the gift, the unique one and only son of promise. Notice that the gift is personal. God didn't send an angel. God didn't send a prophet. God gave Himself in Jesus. But the gift is also priceless. It's the the most valuable gift ever given. Think about what this means. Jesus, God, left heaven. The Word left heaven. Took on flesh. John says that in John chapter 1 verse 14 that he made his dwelling among us. He took on flesh, and I think the King James says he tabernacled among us. We don't use that word very often. We would say, well, he lived among us. He dwelt among us. But I like the King James there when it says he tabernacled among us, because it conjures up visions of Moses in the wilderness when the people would set up the tabernacle. God told them how to make this tabernacle. And when they would travel, they would set that up, and God's presence would come down and meet them there. And then he would tell them to move, and they would pick up that tabernacle and pack it up and move, and they'd set it up again, and God would meet them there in the Ark of the Covenant, there in the tabernacle. And so that would conjure up the idea when it says Jesus took on flesh and he tabernacled with us. He was God's presence with the people. He was Emmanuel, God with us. He suffered and he died for us. That's the cost of the gift. Think about all the temporary gifts that we received over Christmas, the gadgets, the money, the clothes. Think about that as opposed to the eternal gift of Jesus. Those things wear out, they break. I came across this article just the other day. I want you to understand. It says $10 billion was spent on unwanted Christmas gifts this year. That's with a B. $10 billion was spent on unwanted Christmas gifts. Did anybody get a gift that they didn't want this year? Don't raise your hand. Anybody get something that you didn't really want? Let me read this to you. It says that roughly 140 million Americans will receive at least one unwanted gift this year. Let me fast forward here. Topping the unwanted gift list, clothing and accessories. Oh, he's going to love that sweater. It's going to look so good on him. And then you buy it, and he doesn't really love it. You ever gotten something and you're like, oh, I love this. What is it? 43%. Will get clothing and accessories that they don't want. Household items. It's hard to buy for people in their house because people are very particular. They like certain things, and you think they're going to love this, but they don't really love it. Cosmetics and fragrances, 26%. Technology, 25% of those gifts nobody wants. You know what the number one most popular solution for when you get a gift that you don't really like? You know what the number one thing people are going to do? Regifting. You ever heard that term, regifting? Somebody has a birthday, somebody has an anniversary, and you think to yourself, I've got a gift that I'll give to them. You go get in the closet and you regift it. 43% of people will regift something, give something away that they don't really want. 32% will return the item to the store to try to get a refund or an exchange. It's harder and harder to do now because everybody orders stuff online. It's harder to return it. 27% of the people will sell the unwanted gift. What do you have, like a yard sale or eBay maybe? What do they call it, Facebook? Marketplace? Yeah, y'all know. So 20-something percent of the people are going to sell your gift because they didn't want it. Unwanted. Think about those things that wear out, they break out, they lose their value, or you just don't like it. But Jesus is the gift that never fades. He meets our deepest need, our deepest needs, forgiveness and eternal life. he meets those needs. Why did God give such a costly gift? This leads us to the third truth, the purpose. The purpose of the gift. It's eternal life. John writes this, whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. God's goal is salvation, not judgment. Verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. That's why Paul wrote this in Romans chapter 8 and verse 1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That is the gospel. That is the good news. That's why we call it good news. Because if you are in Christ, if you put your faith and your hope and your trust in Jesus, if you have received that gift, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. No condemnation. Say that with me. No condemnation. All right. Steve, we're trying to warm him up a little bit. I want you, if you're excited about not being condemned, having all your sins washed away, I want you to say no condemnation. No condemnation. All right, that's a little better. That's why we can rejoice. That's why Christmas, Emmanuel, God with us, taking on flesh, tabernacling with us, making his home here with us, tempted in every way, like us, but without sin. That's why it's such good news. That's why we need to tell other people about it. That's why we need to share our faith with those around us, because there's no condemnation if you're in Christ Jesus. If you're not in Christ, there is condemnation. Picture for a moment a lifeguard on a beach. See someone floundering around, drowning. They don't just stand up there in the chair and say, hey, you need to come on back a little bit. When you're out there flailing around and drowning, the lifeguard sprints and he dives in to save you. That's what Jesus did when he came to the earth. He came here to rescue us from sin, to rescue us from ourselves, from our own evil desires. Jesus came to rescue us, not to watch us sink. So how should we respond? The gift is offered freely, but we have to receive the gift. We have to actually open the gift. You may have received the most beautiful, wonderful, most expensive, fancy, wonderful gift that you've ever gotten in your life this Christmas. But if you don't take that gift and open it, if you don't receive the gift and then tear that paper open and get it out, it's of no value to you. For a gift to be a good gift, a useful gift, you got to take the lid off. You got to open the paper. It's not just enough to receive it. You have to actually take it out and use it. The same is true of Jesus. The greatest gift comes from God's love. The question for us is, have you received it? Have you opened that gift? If not, today is the day. The last Sunday of 2025. Do not leave this place without accepting his free gift of salvation. Let's bow. Pray with me. Father, we thank you. Father, thank you for loving us so much that you gave us the gift of your Son. Father, I pray that today we would fully put our trust in him. Father, we know that in Christ there is no condemnation. And Father, that's what we need. We admit to you, Father, we confess to you that we are sinners, that we fall so short of your glory. But Father, you have given us the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Father, I pray that you would help us to share that gift with others. Father, as we think ahead to this coming year, I pray that you would place on our hearts and on our minds a friend, an acquaintance, maybe a family member who is not in Christ. Father, would you give us opportunity to share our faith? Would you give us courage, Father, to share our faith, to share our lives with them, so that they too would enjoy the salvation that we enjoy by being in Christ? Father, this is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen.